Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, on the other side of the glass. As I said yesterday, with the new studio, this is day three. It's like a brand new car. And Bob used to be, when we were over in the kind of the linen closet doing the show, it was like you were so close. Now it's like you're 20 yards away, but that's okay. It's good. I can still see you. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Friday, January the 18th, 2019. We are live Monday through Friday here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's most trusted source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, who we wish to thank and do so, we'd like to do it every day, but we do it mainly on Friday, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahorita Sun, the Tucson Media Group and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications, including Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday focus interview today, Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is with us. Mr. Mayor, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
Very good. You recently announced that you will not be standing for re-election for a third four-year term. We'll talk about that in a second. Joining me in the conversation with the mayor, Joe Ferguson, who covers City Hall for the area's largest daily newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
How do you like being in the new studio?
It's beautiful.
It really is. It still has kind of a
New car smell.
Yeah, new studio smell. Before we get into politics, and there's a ton of stuff to talk about today with you, Mayor, you just came from the dedication of what's called a new compassion garden. It's at the Rio Vista Park, and I think this is worth talking about for a minute or so.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's something we've been working on a long time. Rio Vista Park is one of our natural resource parks. It is a hidden gem of our community. It is at the end of Tucson Boulevard. You drive the end of Tucson Boulevard to the river, and it's a desert park. At the end of the park is the loop, so there's access to the loop. And some years ago, we determined that we ought to create a place, and this is a good place for it, where people can go and meditate and get solace if they're grieving or if there's something that they just need that natural park feeling for. And we did this all with private fund money, because at the time the parks didn't have money, but we did all have to go, of course, through the city procedures. It is a city park. And so it took us some years, but it was really beautiful today. The weather was perfect. A lot of the people who had contributed to either money or materials or labor were there. And it was a good, you know, every now and then it's like, oh, we did a good deed today. And that was one of these days.
Is this an area that if someone has some emotional problems, they could get support?
Yes. Well, one of the things about it is not only are the names of all the people who donated, we're all people who are in that, but we actually have on tiles that were donated by Santa Teresa, so it's beautiful. Some of the hotlines and some of the numbers for places to call. So it's trying to serve both purposes at the same time.
And again, it's at the north end of Tucson Boulevard. What's the cross street?
Prince, basically.
At Prince.
Yeah,
oh,
Prince.
I know that area.
Yeah, and you just go up, so, and it's sort of
small acreage? Or
it's a pretty good-sized park. There's a little playground area there. There's place to bring your dogs, but it's all desert.
I'll have to go over there. I like to do walking in different parks. Normally, Himmel Park is my go-to park. Even though I live in the foothills, Joe, I come down to the city to do my walking.
Well, Tucson's a hard place to resist.
Yeah, there you go. Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you because we need to get into the sanctuary city issue.
So, Mayor, we've got the memo right in front of us. Talk to me a little bit about how that memo first came to be. It seemed to surprise a lot of people. So why did Mike Rankin weigh in on this?
Well, I think he weighed in because he...
Mike being the...
City attorney.
City attorney.
He read the initiative and had some grave concerns just to let council, mayor, and the community know the legal ramifications of what this was. Now, you know, whatever their intentions, if this initiative passed... it would really do more harm than good. For one, it would prevent Tucson police from working with the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, any other federal law enforcement agency, or any law enforcement activity, not just immigration. It's just, it is not well written. And let me just give you a couple of examples. TPD works with other agencies all the time to keep the community safe. You know, when God forbid a child goes missing, we work with the FBI, the sheriff, DPS. It's all hands on deck. Isabel Solis was one case with multiple law enforcement agencies involved, including federal officials. Deputy U.S. Marshal Chase White was another. It wasn't in his memo, but I think it may be the case, the way the thing is so broadly written, that TPD uses federal databases all the time to check ballistic evidence, DNA evidence, and the question is, would we even have access to those databases? It's entirely possible we wouldn't. And when you read the initiative, it cites a bunch of statutes, which you'll never see. You'd have to be, you know, literally a lawyer like Rankin to go to those ordinance statutes. For some reason, which I still don't understand, other than maybe the folks that wrote it were not as careful as they should have been, the initiative offers special protection for those detained related to sex offenses, including sex offenses against children. And it seems that once a person is convicted of one of those crimes and maybe served their sentence, maybe they should move to the front of the line at deportation. And that's just the beginning of it, Joe.
Do you have any questions about whether it will get on the ballot?
I don't know. You know, these days...
It needs how many signatures?
Like 90, more than 9,000.
Yeah, 9,400, okay. A little more.
By July?
Yeah. It could... what we've noticed in the past is that to get on the ballot, people have need to, use paid petitioners. Those people aren't very reliable. You get percentages that aren't very high, but it could. And if it does, then at that point, it'll probably get a lot more attention, obviously.
Joe's partner over at the Arizona Daily Star, Tim Steller, wrote about this in the column today, and Tim said, the whole thing, the headline is city doesn't have much to gain from a sanctuary law, and that's because, in Tim's opinion, the sanctuary law will mean a whole heap of trouble for Tucson in exchange for what he calls debatable gains.
Well, I can tell you a couple things. One, the word sanctuary was used, but it's never defined. It's like, you know, let's just get a headline. Let's just get people to this. And you know, clearly as a community, we have worked really hard. I mean, you look at our council, Councilmember Romero, Councilmember Fimbres, Councilmember Kozacek, the whole group, to get our general orders as carefully and thoughtfully crafted as we can to protect individual rights of all persons, avoid unlawful detentions, encourage victim and witness cooperation. That's what's so important about this. And I can assure you, without getting into all the detail of all the other things in here, you are going to draw a 1487 complaint on day one, and I'm concerned that the legislature might go someplace where they haven't gone for a couple years in this area and put more emphasis in someplace that we don't want to go as a community, a state, or as a nation.
Joe, do you want to follow up, or should I move on to something else?
No,
go ahead.
Billy Peard from the group said that, you know, using that as is a boogeyman, that there's no guarantee that the state's going to come after us. So you're behind the veil. Tell us a little bit about, you know, 1487 complaints. Are they just a specter, or is it something that's a very real topic
being discussed in City Hall? It's very discussed in City. We discuss in City Hall every day. Not just related to this, related to anything that we do. It's the state we live in. I think since the initiation of 1487, and Joe, we can go both double check it. I'm thinking there's been at least 15 or 16 of these things filed, not against the city of Tucson, just around the state against different folks, from anything from zoning to a donation to in Sedona, of all places, the Chamber of Commerce. This is something that our state legislature, at least a group of them, likes. It takes one legislator, doesn't have to be from the district, to convince the Attorney General that a law has been passed, an ordinance passed at the local level that is illegal, in conflict with state law. And if that happens, you get a letter that says, unless you change that law within 30 days, you lose your state revenue, which is a third of our money. You know, it's way worse than a federal shutdown.
What is it called? It's a
1487. It's something that's going around the country. Of course, Arizona was one of the early adopters. And it really, this is one of my, I shouldn't say favorite topics, but, you know, something I've learned a bit about. And it's real funny because Arizona, when Arizona became a state, was actually kind of a liberal state. It's got kind of a liberal constitution. And so it allowed for city autonomy. And there, it's written into the Constitution. Other states, the constitutions were not written that way. My favorite example, of course, is Alabama, where cities can pass an ordinance, any ordinance they want, but before it can become law, it has to be approved by the state. And states go both ways on that. Arizona, through legislation and through court decisions, including our gun case, is really moving us much closer to the Alabama model. And that's what the legislators believe is right.
So let me ask a follow-up to that then.
We're kind of coming up on the break, but what's your follow-up real quickly?
Sure, see if I can answer it quickly.
Okay. Is SB 1487 one of the reasons why you're not coming for a third term? It's harder to be a mayor?
That's a good question.
It is a good question. No. Although, I will tell you that... it is harder to be a mayor in the state of Arizona. That's not my reasoning. My reasoning is really personal and multi-complex, but it would be nice for the next mayor, whoever that might be, and the mayors of all the state of Arizona to have a little more autonomy for cities.
Well, actually, I was going to kind of hold the mayor stuff till after the break, but I'm going to ask you right now, are you going to endorse anybody in the primary?
It is too early.
Whether it's Rahina or Steve or Randy Dorman.
There's not going to be any early endorsements from me. I can tell you that right now. And I can tell you that I really do want to watch and see how these candidates develop. And we'll make a decision down the road. I'm not even sure the field is full yet. Mm-hmm. And we're right at the beginning of this. There's for a Democratic candidate or an independent candidate, just like on these initiatives, there's a good a signature requirement. So we'll see what comes our way.
Can you tell us how many, Joe, do you have any idea on signatures?
About 4,000, by understanding.
Yeah, you'd want to get 4,000. You know, one of the things that makes it more difficult is when there's multiple candidates, if the people are hitting the same doors, if you happen to get the signature second, that signature doesn't count. So they're going to want to get as close to 4,000 as they can.
And I keep hearing names pop up, but, you know, it really will depend, won't it, Joe, on how many signatures they can get. Even for the ward offices, you've got to have...
A big chunk. It's also who will be challenged, things of that nature, too. So signatures are valid until they're proven otherwise.
All right, let's take our break right here. Mayor and Joe, this is the time when I tell our listeners about my favorite bakery.
Let's see if Joe's been there.
I've had their delicious, delicious food.
Thank you very much. And he said there, and the organization is Mona's. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And Joe probably had one of their great sandwiches. They're open right now for lunch. The bread, wide choice of breads for your sandwiches. But what really makes Mona's stand out is the Danish Kringle. And that's a pastry that Bob Dio, my engineer producer. Bob, bring the mic over real quickly in front of you because I am real short on time. But I do want you to describe how the Danish Kringle was different than other pastries that have come through our doors here at KVOI.
I was expecting to have the same old, you know, put it in your mouth. This is okay, but this thing came alive in your mouth. It was so fresh. It was unbelievable.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to have to run up there right as soon as I get off here. I may leave now.
Could you run up now during the commercial break, if you would, please, Mayor, and bring a couple back?
Actually, one of your security team just left, I think. Mona's Danish Bakery. For more information about their great operation, also my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's. We're going to take the break right here. We'll be right back with the mayor, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. If you'd like to call in, join in the conversation, 790-2040. And it was kind of like Joe Ferguson a week at the Star as far as City Hall was concerned. All of the stories, pretty much my top three that I wanted to talk with you, Mayor, about, have a Joe Ferguson dateline on them. And so let's move to the next one. Tucson and county file joint suit versus the opioid industry. Can you kind of, what's the bottom line on that one?
Sure. It's something that's going on all over the nation. Basically, what we've discovered is that as a result of the I'm going to say, negligent prescription of opioids across the country, it's impacted all of us. Of course, it principally impacts the individual and the families and everything that comes with that. But municipalities and local governments have borne an unreasonable share of the costs because our firefighters are out there all the time as paramedics. Our police officers are out there all the time.
Dealing with these opioid questions,
dealing with these
right?
questions. And we can quantify what those costs have been, and the folks responsible for those costs ought to pay the taxpayers
back. Have they
back.
Been high, the costs?
Oh, yeah. I have not seen the quantification yet, but I've been told that, you know, and you can go back so many years, they know exactly how many calls have been made, fire calls, police calls, and they're going to quantify that and be part of a larger action. Obviously, the county's part of that, and it's something that I think a lot of municipalities across the country are doing.
Joe, you want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to try to get a sense of, you know, what you're asking for in this lawsuit.
Yeah, Joe, I don't know yet that. I don't have it quantified. I do know that I've been told that the numbers are large enough that it is worth, you know, spending the time pursuing.
And the county's also joined this, right,
yeah.
Joe?
Yeah. And they have the sheriff's department and they have a health department.
Joe, what about your other story about these scooters? What's this all about, these e-scooters? Is this something that other cities have, these little things running around town?
They do. And to some cities, it works very, very well. And in some cities, it works very, very poorly. We know that our cousins up in Phoenix are having a lot of problems with them. One fire department said that they had 120 accidents related to them in a six-month period. And so we know that these are something that young people want and that they help with what's called the last mile of getting home from, say, the bus stop or from walking somewhere. And they help in that way. But at the same time, you know, the city of Tucson is really minding their P's and Q's. And so what I saw last week was the council having a rigorous debate about one proposal and asked staff to come back with a new proposal.
I think that's accurate.
How do they work?
All I know, and I'd follow up on what Joe says. So I've been to Mesa where you couldn't see a more orderly system of these. They've got four here and six here, and they're all lined up. And then I've been in Scottsdale where they're piled up in places. And so what we're struggling with is, can we put an ordinance in place and can we enforce an ordinance so that we look more like the cities where it's being successful than the cities that it's not being successful in? We haven't scrapped the idea, although it could happen, but we were, Joe's absolutely right. It was a very strong discussion about everybody's suggestions about how to make the ordinance better. I have my ideas. I know other council people have their ideas. There may be a council person or two that will just say, no, we don't need these things. And so that's the process. And I think staff hopefully will come back in 30 days, could be 45, with a new proposal. And we'll see how close we get. But what we do see is in cities across the country, they're present. It's just a question of how, in my mind, how you make it work.
Aren't they dangerous to the a driver, you know, automobile driver?
I think the real question is, it's probably more of a danger to the person riding them than it is the person in a steel box.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think that, you know, there's some concern among the council about how these things are going to mesh at the university on 4th Avenue in downtown, where they're likely to be used more often than, say, Midtown.
Mm-hmm. And it may come to, and Joe's exactly right, and that was the conversation. And you know, the folks on 4th Avenue said, we don't want them. You know, we're already congested. The people at the University of Arizona hasn't let them on campus. They've already been approached. And the people at Main Gate are not overly thrilled. The people downtown, just they're concerned to be certain. Well, you take out those three areas, and then we say, well, no, we want you to build a system like this, which may not be in the most dense areas. Well, will the companies then come? And so we'll see. But it'll be something to keep me busy over the next couple months.
All right, let's move on. Amazon, a second distribution center, had that been expected?
No. It was
that's good news.
Yeah,
then,
it was good news, yeah. and you know, the best news about it, which I found out a little bit in retrospect, was that our Planning Development Service Department did a great job for them. I mean, the folks came back and they said, "You guys were speedy, you were efficient, you got us going."
Amazon said this about the city.
Can you imagine? But that's just good news, you know. Now, admittedly, it's Amazon, and I'm sure they got some attention. But it's always good to hear when the things you've been working on and the cultures you've been trying to push actually take effect. And it's going to be a lot of jobs. And I think what it is, so we've got the big center out in the southeast, and that's going to be where the big trucks come and the rail and all that. I think this is going to be a center for these little Amazon trucks you see driving all around town, and they've got independent contractors, but it's more activity for the community, that's to be certain.
They have these little trucks now that say Prime on them.
Yep.
Those are part of the Amazon. They're like competing now with UPS and whatever.
It's the same kind of last mile kind of issue, actually, at the end of the day.
Yep.
So anyway, that's good news for the economic development. And then downtown, for years, we've talked about getting a TCC, Tucson Convention Center, upgrade.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, it's there. It's there.
But I mean, what, $75 million?
Well, that I wouldn't spend your $75 million all at once,
okay.
Bill. But, you know, Fletcher McCusker.
He was here last Friday talking about that.
He always has big ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, in good for him. But you know, the things tend to take a little longer, but you know, it's good to finally be able to put that revenue stream to appropriate use. And I think Fletcher for the most part does a good job with that. There's two things I'm real happy about downtown. One is the building that's going up next to the bank building, the big bank building. That's the bulldozers are in the ground there, and I think it's going to be at 4 to 6 stories, retail, office, and residential, very much like what the PAG building looks like. And then yesterday, I had the pleasure of watching the garage next to the Hotel Arizona be demolished. And that's, I think, good news. I'm not sure where that's going to go.
Is that a ribbon cutting ceremony?
I almost went over because we could watch it from our office.
Yeah.
And although it, as they were demolishing, they almost hit one of the streetcar stops, but I think we're okay. But when you see that corner as raw land, you can see the potential there, and so hopefully we see something there one day.
Has Humberto talked to you all about what he wants to do with that corner lately?
He has.
Go on.
Not Humberto, but Omar. I think he's going to try to develop a concept for the entire area. I think the next thing you're going to see is demolition, not just of the west side of the hotel, but the east side of the hotel, and then bring us a concept that includes everything and hopefully something that will make more economic sense for us to do something. Now, you know, that's been said. We'll see when it comes our way. But I'm paid large dollars to remain hopeful, and so I'm going to remain hopeful.
So can you at least say whether or not his plans for redeveloping the hotel are still on board? He went to Rio Nuevo with the idea. He has the approval for funding for that. Do you think that that's going to still happen?
I think he wants to do that. I think in order to fill all the funding that he needs to, he's going to need to bring a plan that does more than just the hotel. Anyway, that's our last conversation.
You know, we were reflecting with, in fact, Stellar was here with me last Friday, your colleague, Joe, Tim Stellar. We're talking with Fletcher about the early days. Maybe I shouldn't bring this up, about Rio Nuevo, the early days, about how the original concept was this West Side cultural emphasis.
I mean, I almost know as much about Rio Nuevo as I do about 1487. When I came into office, we had a Rio Nuevo board that the state had appointed. I came into office after the state had been appointed, and there was just this political deadlock. I mean, it wasn't good, and I ultimately had to go to Phoenix and deal with Steve Pierce and Andy Tobin. They were good to me. Then Governor Brewer was not as cooperative, but she wasn't, you know, she just didn't want to hear about it. Anyway, once we got that board changed out, we've been able to do a lot since then. But you're right. The original idea, what the legislation was, with the enabling legislation, was, look, you're to work on this primary component, which was the TCC and,
right.
in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some sense to that. But it also said you need to get enabling legislation from your voters. Well, at that time, George Miller was the mayor in that group. And quite probably they properly calculated that the voters of Tucson wouldn't vote for just a TCC and hotel. So they went out with this idea that was kind of a mm-hmm. civic, you know, vision, and they passed it. And the problem was that civic vision wasn't something you could build,
and make money from.
Right, and so they struggled with that for years. Then the legislature comes in, and we, you know, the rest is history. But we're in a good place now, and hopefully we can stay there. You know, I mean, the legislature, like they like 1487, doesn't like tax incentive districts. Mm-hmm. We're the only, the Rio Nuevo district's the only one in the state of Arizona.
Wasn't there one in Mesa one time? Or?
If there was, okay. It's not there now.
Okay.
And Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, which mm-hmm. is actually smaller than Tucson in terms of, let's look at, has 9. Could you imagine if we had 10 tax incentive districts and what we could do in this community?
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. And so, you know, I think we care for this district and be responsible for it, and hopefully continue to grow the city.
Bottom line, Joe, is what Fletcher said, cultural stuff's great, but it has to make money. That's the only way the legislature would even get on board with any projects like that now.
And they've turned around downtown so that there is culture down there. There's the Fox, there's the mm-hmm. Rialto. People come to downtown to see shows again, and DCC is thriving compared to where it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The parks, Bon, I'm sure your new parks guy, who we've had on the show a couple of times, boy, what an energetic guy when it comes to parks.
You know what, when I was out today, you talked about the Compassion Garden, and as I was walking out there,
Mr. Dennis,
and he had his crews out there for a week making this thing perfect for this.
Wow.
And you know what? That's what you needed, a parks guy. I mean, you know, you needed some administration, but you need someone who's enthusiastic about being out in the parks, and Brent is that.
And can we get that same energy level from the new transportation director, who we have not had in front of the microphone yet?
So
this
is what Bill does to me. It's like, you know, your police chief hasn't been out here yet.
Yeah.
I will. He has been since then.
Yeah, he has. A couple of times.
I will talk to Diana. You will love her. She is great. In fact, of course, we can go through all that history too, but she is just the right combination of vision and do-itness that I really like her, and you know, I don't, when people get hired, it's like, okay, let's check it out. She's really good. I'll get her on here. I think you're really going to like her.
Did you say where she's from?
She is from Broward County, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she brings a lot of experience that I don't think we had, so.
Joe, I could carve out about 2 more minutes before the break. Do you have anything else that you would like to bring up, address with the mayor?
I'm going to go back to 1487 and the mayor's race. Is 1487 going to be a challenge for the next mayor in terms of being able to substantially change and improve what Tucson is?
I don't think 1487 is. I think that, and by the way, I would be as guilty of this as anybody running for mayor, and I don't think you want somebody running for mayor who isn't guilty of this. As it sits in the state of Arizona, cities need to stay in their lane. And that lane may not be what somebody who is a political person sees as wide enough. It isn't. But what cities are allowed and what can make cities work are excellent constituent services. I don't care whether it's fixing the roads, picking up the garbage, getting to that first response. And a mayor can play a big role in that, and number one. Number two, what cities really have authority over legislatively is zoning. And we know we have 207, so we can't really downzone, but we can either say no or build something that's smart, something that's appealing to the community. And that's really the job of the mayor, is to do those kind of things. And of course, what I've done is, you know, you can do what you want. And if you have an initiative, getting kids back in school, getting a job training program, getting people out of prison into work, you can run those things. And, you know, you have that platform. And finally, you are the you're the spokesperson for the city, and that's a real responsibility. It's one that I don't know that when I took the job I fully understood. But when things go good, you want to promote it. When things go bad, you want to own up to it and talk about how you're going to make it right. And the job's that simple. And I think if someone understands that and does it right, you're going to have a good mayor.
All right. Why don't we end on that that note? Mayor, thank you very much for coming in. We were trying to get you on every other month, but I think there's so much going on. I think we already booked you now for next month, end of February.
We haven't even had council meetings. Who knows?
I know. Who knows what's coming up? Mayor, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Okay. You too, Joe.
Joe Ferguson and I will talk for a few minutes before a weekend watch, but right now we're going to take the break. It's AM 1030. It's Tucson's voice. Most trusted voice for local news and talk. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we're excited to announce that our annual travel showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Just about 12:45, it's the Buckmaster Friday edition. Kind of my favorite day of the week, not only because I like Friday, but I love our Friday Focus interview. Get a chance to, as they say, dig deep, dive deep into a particular topic with a newsmaker. Today it was the mayor. Mayor Rothschild with us. Joe Ferguson is with me still in studio. Joe, the Arizona Daily Star, City Hall reporter, political writer. Joe, one thing we didn't get a chance to bring up was the effort, the push for ward-only elections. We had Mr. and Mrs. Holden, who are pushing this effort to gather these signatures to put this on the November ballot. Is this a big pressing issue in the city, do you think?
It's a revolving issue that's been an issue for a long time with Republicans. It's gone through the courts, and now that didn't work. So we're looking at an initiative to try to change the city charter. Hmm. And so, you know, the question will be, is just like on the Sanctuary City initiative, you know, whether or not they're going to get the vote, the signatures, and whether it's going to appear on the ballot. That's a tall order nowadays, especially as you have to rely more and more on paid signature gatherers to get to the numbers that you need. We're talking 9,400 as a minimum, and to be safe, you're probably closer to 12,000 signatures. And while they have 6 months, it's a tall order for anybody who's been through the process.
And why do the backers of Sanctuary City feel this is something that's important to this area?
Well, I mean, due respect to Mayor Rothschild, I think that there has always been a push and pull between the city council on how far to go in terms of going to something that is what we have now, the immigrant welcoming community, and something that's a little more solid and defined in terms of being a sanctuary city. There's a lot of legal issues around the word sanctuary city, but I think that there are people in this community, elected leaders included, who want to see Tucson as a progressive city embrace that model.
But it would be just, if it passed, opens the door for a lot of scrutiny from the federal, from state lawmakers, right?
I think that, you know, lawyers will tell you that you can define sanctuary city any way you want. How the federal government is going to define it and what they may do in terms of retaliation is far more important than any label that we self-apply.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the mayor's race. I'm glad you asked the mayor directly about whether the sanctuary city movement was going to be one of the reasons perhaps he decided two terms would be enough. I'm glad you brought that up, because I've heard that kind of been floating around that might have been one of the issues. Where does that fit in the mayor's race? And obviously that's going to be a question that we as reporters will put to the candidates. When we have Steve Farley on the show and we have Raheena Romero, it's going to be an issue.
I think it's going to be a litmus test for Democrats.
It is. It's going to be a litmus test. And so you got to wonder has someone asked Raheena or Steve how they feel about it yet, or have they not made a commitment?
It's funny. I reached out to Raheena in her capacity as city council member, mm-hmm, to see how she felt about the memo that went out by Rankin. And I was told that she couldn't talk to me right now because she was leaving for a trip to Puerto Rico. So I do have a plan on asking both of them that question in the coming days, but it looks like I won't get around to it till next week.
Hmm. So we don't really know who is a fit. Well, we know Steve Farley's in, Raheena Romero, and Randy Dorman, who is very influential in downtown Tucson and Rio Nuevo and downtown development. She's been talking about getting into it. We've got some independents who are going to get into it. It's going to be who gets the signatures.
Well, I think that, you know, independents don't need those signatures.
They don't.
In the same way. They can take those signatures and they will be on the November ballot no matter what. There won't be a primary fight. So the question is, who will be the Democratic nominee and will there be a Republican nominee for mayor? And that's when things will get really interesting. But we really won't have a sense of that, regardless of who announces, until they turn in their signatures closer to, you know, the early summer.
Do we have any names that have popped up?
No one wants to talk on the Republican side. And so
I'll tell you, the only name I keep hearing is someone who's wanted the ward job over on the southeast side forever. That's Michael Hicks. Now, he's not running for mayor, but he's kind of the prominent Republican right now who wants to get work at City Hall.
Right. He does. And there is another person who wants a job in Ward 1 with the assumption that Raheena Romero is not going to get that job, or is not going to get another term. So there, it's heating up in both Wards 1 and Ward 4 for a partisan fight mm-hmm. for those seats, which could show us two Republicans on the council.
Well, it's interesting if you reflect back to when George Miller decided not to run, and there was a very heated Democratic primary. We're talking back in 1999. And then Bob Walkup emerged and won the whole thing.
Yep. No, it could go that way again. I mean, I think that Tucson scene is a very progressive Democrat-controlled town, but we have to remember history and that we've elected Republicans to mayor and to city council not that long ago.
No, we had Mr. Ronstadt and there have been others recently. Okay, Joe Ferguson, anything you want to point out about the Star? Or did you were pretty busy this weekend.
I was. I know Tim Seller is working hard on a Sunday column. Can't tell you what it's about, but it's one not to miss.
Oh, okay. All right, Joe Ferguson, thank you very much. Always good to see you here on our Friday Focus and Roundtable. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Stir it up, baby. Bob Marley, I was telling some friends the other day, they were so shocked, Bob Dio, that I'm a huge fan of reggae. They said, really? I said, yeah.
Why would they be shocked?
I don't know why they were shocked. In fact, such a big fan will be down in Jamaica in mid-October to actually look at the homeland where Bob Marley's from.
Nice.
Outside Ochos Rios, going to his home village. So anyway, I'm really into that. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. What a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find some great ideas about where to stay. Some beautiful properties over there and great ideas for recreating, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Weekend Watch now, the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, all-around foodie and nice guy, on the menu's own Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and Bill, let me be the first to offer to be your personal valet, to accompany you, carry your bags, whatever it takes, Jamaica. A little bird once told me, Bill, that you are a rum enthusiast, and I would imagine that that you will have a few sips of rum while you're enjoying some reggae in Jamaica.
Yep, I love rum, and I love tequila blanco, so those are my two passions, and certainly, when it comes to the alcoholic beverages, what do you have for us on Weekend Watch?
Well, Bill, Tucson native Griffin Armstrong, he's a fixture on the local food scene. He is going to be debuting his handmade taco concept today at 4 o'clock in the Gibson Courtyard downtown, just behind Highwire Lounge. Now, his work is all about giving new life to rustic foods and sort of understanding not just the ingredients, but the people and lives tied to them. So plan on enjoying some tacos that represent this sort of style and spirit, as well as cocktail pairings to make it Weekend Watch worthy. It's today at 4 p.m. and tomorrow at noon in the courtyard behind Highwire Lounge.
A lot of interest in the Tucson Japanese Festival this weekend.
Yeah, you better believe it. In true Asian celebration, it's the annual New Year's Tucson Japanese Festival Saturday at the beautiful Tucson Chinese Cultural Center over there on River Road, 1288 West River Road. This festival will take place from 11 to 3, dancing, musical performances, exhibitors, kids' activities, and of course, delicious Asian-inspired dishes from tokoyaki balls to fat noodle ramen, spam musubi. All this plus door prizes all day long tomorrow at the Tucson Japanese Festival.
I heard LaRua's is actually, this is it, they're packing it in, huh?
Believe it or not, Bill.
Hard to believe.
Mexican restaurant, it is. They opened in Tucson in 1922, and they're going to be serving their final meal at their Broadway and Campbell location tomorrow night. This restaurant closing is sort of to accommodate the Broadway Boulevard widening project. There's no news yet on whether the restaurant will open in another location. So Saturday night is your last chance to sink your teeth into some of those glorious green corn tamales and some other dishes that have made this place such a Tucson tradition for nearly a century. I say viva la Rua.
There you go. What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
A fun one, Bill. You know, next Thursday is National Peanut Butter Day.
Oh, I didn't know.
And I take a look at some rather unusual and unconventional ways to celebrate the day. Certainly not with a pedestrian PB&J. That sticky story is in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Matt Russell, we will look forward to getting you here live in studio so you can sample this beautiful new Bustos Media studio here at KVOI.
I'm looking forward to all that leg room. Are you kidding me?
Yes, very spacious accommodations. Thank you, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. Matt Russell with us with Weekend Watch. Steve Rivera is coming up, Eye on the Ball, and some sad news in the sports world about Coach Tomey. Steve kind of broke this story in his All Sports Tucson column about Coach Tomey, 80 years old, I believe, with lung cancer. Undergoing treatment, which is great news, and we want to wish him certainly all the best. Steve will have more details coming up in a few moments. But that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of everybody here, including Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, Ray Allen, thank you very much. Everybody here at Bustos Media doing such a great job in the support role of the Buckmaster Show. We all wish you a very pleasant and safe weekend.